At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. A couple of hours, we will get to rank them. Don't forget, we do it at 940 now, so hit us up with your list. I did have some people that were tweeting me already yesterday, so hit us up at the text line or on my Twitter page, at JMSH316. He's at the D. Lewis for real. Falcons get ready for football coming up on Friday, preseason game number 2. We certainly will see the starters, and they'll take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy Daniel Flick. He is a Falcons writer for Falcons Report, a part of Fan Nation, and he's part of the SI Network as well. He's on Twitter at by Daniel Flick. And Daniel, appreciate a few minutes as always as we get ready for preseason game number 2 coming up here.
Absolutely, man. Happy to hop on with you as always, and excited about, you know, watching Atlanta in action at home this year for the first time on Friday night.
You know, I did think that it was a really good first step. I mean, look, I've explained this to people. You know, would you rather have your backups and third string guys get run over and, you know, play, you know, poorly, or would you rather have your guys that, you know, and there are plenty of guys that they're going to rely on, you know, to be pieces, the D. Alfords and, you know, Arnold Ebikadi and guys like that. I mean, look, there's plenty of expectation for all those guys. But again, I thought it was a good first step all the way around for this team.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that a lot of the guys in there have talked about in the last week is that win, even with the starters not out there, you could see an identity forming, and that I think, you know, one of the things that the Falcons have kind of lacked the last several years, like a consummate team identity. And I think this year, again, even though it's not the starters, you can see a certain type of player, a certain type of mindset, for sure a high level of urgency is honestly the word I would use for it. But it was a very, for me, encouraging performance, because I feel like, you know, you mentioned Ebikadi, Alford, you know, very, very clearly that, you know, very, in my eyes, two pretty big winners from, you know, the opener. So I think, you know, playing them in that game, you were hoping that they'd play the way that they did. And so that was obviously encouraging. But even beyond them, there were so many guys in that win that are fighting for roster spots, you know, that ended up playing at a pretty high level. And you could just feel, you know, especially with Ryan Nielsen's unit there, you could just really feel a level of aggression. And again, as you're going to see the talent ramp up on Friday night when they play the starters, I think you're kind of looking to see that same level of overall aggression. Again, I love the word urgency. I think that's really important for this year's team. And I think that's, you know, the way that they've built the team, it's not just a player-by-player deal. It's a mindset that the team has taken on. So even beyond the actual on-field, you know, I would call it a very impressive showing on Friday night of last week. I think it was more a larger picture takeaway that everybody's kind of talked about. Obviously, you know, we've heard all offseason about how strong they feel the culture is there. But I think you really start to gain a greater appreciation for that when you see how deep the roster is with guys who fit that culture. So I think that's what that was my main takeaway from last Friday night in Miami, and I'm very excited to kind of watch that play out this Friday night as well.
Well, and Daniel, I will say that I have consistently said on this radio show, my podcast, and everywhere I have a platform, that the best acquisition that the Falcons made wasn't a player, wasn't trading for somebody, wasn't Ryan Nielsen. I think the best acquisition they made was bringing Jerry Gray in, who is a longstanding, really good defensive coach. Obviously, you know, if you listen to people like Jair Alexander, he had a big influence on his career. He was there in 2010 when the Seahawks had a couple of rookies named Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. Those guys turned out pretty well. But the thing is that I think you saw his fingertips all over that secondary. And I know he's not their secondary coach per se, but he's been brought in to do a lot of different things. But the idea of, hey, passes being knocked down, multiple interceptions from this team. There was an aggression out of the secondary that we haven't seen for years, and that's why I'm super excited that when Okuda finally does get healthy and we can see A.J. Terrell and Jesse Bates and Richie Grant and Jalen Hawkins, when we see the guys that are really going to play, and again, D. Alford as well, I think Jerry Gray has already had his fingers all over the pulse of this defense and what this secondary is looking like.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, you mentioned how often they got their hands on the ball in Miami. That's a trend that's been happening all training camp, frankly. You know, I mean, that is a trait that secondary has taken on. And again, the Falcons the last several years have not been very good at forcing turnovers, whether that's a pass rush problem, a secondary problem. You know, obviously it's an age-old argument, but no matter how you shape it, they haven't forced turnovers. And I think this year, obviously, that's a big step that they're trying to make. And I think, you know, the easiest way to kind of flip that, the more you get your hands on the ball, naturally speaking, yeah, I mean, it's just obvious, like the more you're going to force turnovers. And so this year, again, whether it's camp, and obviously it was very exciting to kind of watch that translate against, you know, Miami's offense and not only against, you know, their own offense, obviously, but it was nice to kind of see that. And I think with Jerry Gray, the one thing, I think Arthur Smith has a very big soft spot for what Jerry Gray has meant for his career. But every time that Arthur talks about Jerry Gray, he just keeps coming back to his leadership and the mindset that he's gotten that whole room to kind of embody. And I think, you know, you mentioned Okuda, you know, all signs. I mean, he looked healthy in camp. He looked quick, athletic. There's very high expectations, I think, that he'll be a legitimate, you know, really good second corner. A.J. Terrell, as you mentioned already, I mean, his camp has been highly, highly impressive. He was really good in Miami as well. You know, earlier throughout all the sessions that he had against, you know, several talented wideouts on Miami's roster. And so I think he, you know, after kind of a slower start last year, kind of looked more like himself as the year progressed, and he's looked every bit of the All-Pro that he was in 2021. So I think that whole room is very, very encouraging. But as you mentioned, they had multiple interceptions on last Friday night with guys that are, again, kind of fighting for roster spots. Like, that is a full-on effort by Jerry Gray, the level that him and Steven Jackson, Ryan Nielsen, all those guys have the whole secondary playing at right now is not a coincidence, in my personal opinion. And, I mean, there's a level of leadership that you see. A.J. Terrell, Jesse Bates, you know, there's guys in that room that have kind of taken on leadership roles, again, at a higher level than what we've seen kind of in years past as far as having high-impact players in those high leadership positions. And I think it's kind of been very productive for that whole room, and you're kind of seeing that translate already just with how aggressive they are. And, again, some of playing the ball is just instinct. And you can see the quickness and the overall mental processing speed that Atlanta has in the secondary right now has been very impressive throughout camp. So, again, I think that what happened in Miami, even though it wasn't the starting group, is just a sign of things to come, really, for Atlanta's whole secondary.
Daniel Flick, Falcons writer for Falcon Report on Fan Nation, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You know, I know Arthur Smith talked about Jalen Mayfield and talked about him competing for that swing tackle spot. You know, I thought Mayfield played well. I thought there were a couple of times where he got lost and he got turned around, and when it got into pass coverage, there were some questions. But I do think that if you ask him to go north and south and get his hands on people, that's where his strong suit is. And obviously playing tackle again, you think realistically he nails down a spot? I truly think that if he had not played well and he had played poorly, I think he would have been the next guy cut off this team. But he lives to fight another day. I wonder if he can win that swing tackle spot.
Yeah, I think he absolutely can win it. You know, throughout this week in practice, he's had a few reps at left tackle. And again, that's kind of been the main thing that a lot of people have been looking at as far as who's ahead in that swing tackle race. You know, with Mayfield, I think Arthur Smith surprised a lot of people last week or the week before in camp when he talked about, you know, I believe he was asked about early risers for him, and he mentioned Mayfield. And a lot of people kind of hadn't been paying too much attention to him, and then the more that you kind of watch him throughout camp, they were very pleased with how he came out at right tackle. Obviously, he played right tackle in college. A lot of people kind of felt like that was his more natural position. Obviously, we kind of saw how his year at left guard went as a rookie. But again, with Mayfield, I think he's a guy that they view more, you know, in more of a positive light than some people on the outside do. But I do agree with you that I think as of right now, he's probably on the outside looking in. You know, they signed Josh Miles from Arizona in free agency, and he's largely been the swing tackle so far in camp, kind of holding down that second-team left tackle role. You know, he had a couple rough reps throughout the week in Miami, and so I think that's kind of that kind of opened the door a little bit for a guy like Mayfield. But again, Mayfield also was working third-team right tackle earlier this week as well. So, I mean, he's kind of all over the board. I don't think we're going to get a firm answer on him, Miles, and Vrabel as well, also kind of in that mix as well. And, you know, there's three guys, I think, that are legitimately fighting for that swing tackle spot, but I really think it's going to come down to probably going to come down to Mayfield and Miles is kind of the way it feels like it's shaping up right now. Mayfield, I think, has more work to do. I think Miles entered ahead, and I think even though he hasn't been necessarily stellar, and Mayfield's probably – again, has probably impressed the staff more at various points. I think Mayfield's still kind of fighting a fairly big uphill battle, especially because, you know, his rookie year, again, wasn't stellar, and then he missed all of last year. So, again, there's kind of a level of unknown there. I think he came back and impressed with kind of where he was at. But I still think that, as you mentioned, he's probably more at risk right now than what you would think for a guy that's kind of created as much praise as he has so far early on in camp. And so, again, he'll be a guy to watch. Him and Miles, I think, are going to be very interesting to kind of watch play out because I really think that competition's kind of an underrated one. I'm very glad you brought it up because not a lot of people have put a whole lot of attention on it. But I think Mayfield, again, can play right tackle, obviously played inside already in the NFL. I do think that versatility is valuable. But I think as of right now, Josh Miles probably has the advantage there, which probably has Mayfield kind of looking pretty significantly on the outside looking in.
Last question for you. We saw Adi Ogundeji go to the IR, you know, today. I don't know if it's short-term, long-term, but, again, when you look at his – when you look at a lot of the metrics and things like that from last year, he did not play well. He was – and, again, he was probably used – too often, probably played too high of a percentage of snaps, but it wasn't a very good year last year. Now he's hurt. I don't think Adi Ogundeji is going to end up making this club.
Yeah, I would agree. I think where he's at right now feels like we're kind of trending in a similar direction that Atlanta had with a few of the receivers that they've recently had to place on IR as well, where you kind of put them there and then end up waving them a few days later. With, you know, Blair and Frank Darby, you know, I think that's probably where Ade is heading right now. Again, you know, very unfortunate result because obviously, you know, his rookie year, there was quite a lot of potential there. I mean, he was, I don't think he took the step from year one to year two that a lot of people, Atlanta staff included, thought he would take. You know, he arrived kind of with more of a reputation as being a ready-made run stopper with some untapped potential, you know, kind of on third down, and he never really showed he could take that step. And I think he entered this year's training camp, especially with all the acquisitions that they made up front, you know, especially on the edge, that he was probably already kind of right on that fringe. And then, you know, his early performance in camp wasn't anything, you know, overly impressive. And then obviously the injury kind of is probably going to be the last straw for him, if I had to guess. So I would say as of right now, Ogundeji is probably out as things stand today. And you know, unfortunately, his time in Atlanta may be coming to an end much sooner than I think what a lot of people would have expected, maybe even as recently as this time last year. So, you know, everything kind of changed pretty quick for him there. And, you know, the way that his – I feel like his ceiling right now seems a lot lower than it once did. And, again, you add on the injury, and he's just probably viewed as pretty expendable right now. So that's kind of – I think, like Mayfield, he's honestly, I think Ade's probably in a much worse spot as far as roster odds right now. I think he's in a pretty rough spot.
Atlanta Falcons writer Daniel Flick joined us here in the WadeFord.com hotline. Check out his work at Falcon Report on Fan Nation. He's on Twitter, @ByDanielFlick. And Daniel, always appreciate a few minutes with you here. We'll chat again soon.
Absolutely, man. I'll hop back on whenever you want me to.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, it will be the Falcons flyover. We'll hear from Ryan Nielsen.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.